511. It's the 271st edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Arnold.
No, you're Chris. Arnold's not here.
Why isn't Arnold here this time?
Well, I don't exactly know. He just said a thing in the group chat saying that he's on empty. That could mean his gas tank. That could mean he's just tired and on empty. That could mean...
That's never stopped us before.
I don't know. But I'll see him tomorrow at work. So
give him hell. Don't do this.
He's
give him
fine.
Hell.
He's fine. If he can't make it, he can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how we lost Travis. I was like, oh, you need a break? Go ahead, have a break. That's no big deal.
And they almost lost you there for a while, too. I'll be back in...
I'll be back.
Someday.
Yeah.
I'll be back on Rusev Day.
Never to return.
No.
Yeah. But luckily, it's Rusev Day, so we're here.
Yeah. Other than that, I was like, fuck this show. I wouldn't have come either.
What? Really? Okay. Well,
on that note...
If you are joining us live, thank you so much. 8 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday evenings. PM
for now,
right? You know, if you are live, then log into your little thing here on YouTube. You have like a little YouTube account. You can log in, and you can talk shit. Just say hi, whatever. If I see it right here, I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show, and we can all have fun together. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook. Facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio or on Twitter @HWrestlingRadio. Or you know what? We've had kind of a resurgence on the Instagrams.
I was just about to ask.
Yeah, the Instagrams. You can check that out. I think that's HWR Podcast on Instagram.
You look at me like I know.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're totally wrong.
Is it @HWrestlingRadio also on Instagram?
There you go.
Oh, also on Instagram.
It's Houston Wrestling Radio.
It's Houston Wrestling Radio on Instagram?
Yes.
It's a whole lot of things.
Search for it, okay, guys? You could also just leave a comment right here on the old YouTube because that's easy because you're already here.
Is there anybody there already?
I don't know here. I haven't even pulled it up yet. I'm over here just telling people to look at it. I haven't even looked. But, yeah. Where are we? It doesn't show us this.
We're doing live!
Are we not live? There we go. Okay. technology, folks.
There you go.
All right. Is anybody here yet?
Oh.
Of course. Well, Porsche sitting on the couch. And Ryan. What's up,
there
Ryan?
You go.
Nice to see you. He says, you're not going to say hi to me or Porsche. I just did.
It took us a while.
Jerk.
Ryan, let us know if we're glitchy.
Yes, please let us know. We're experimenting around with shutting off everything in the house except for this. And hopefully that'll figure
For a while.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But, you know, the studio will also get moved here pretty soon as well. So
you're going to have to come up with a new studio.
We're going to have a new studio name.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You signed a lease on a new place today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put down the deposit. Well, we signed a lease yesterday. Put it on a deposit.
How much blood did you have to sell?
A lot.
How much semen? You don't give that away.
Not enough.
When you come back tomorrow, there'll be another floor on your house.
Ryan says you are always glitchy, and I was talking to Porsche saying hi, Abel. You're not you anymore. It's okay, whatever.
Let us know if we're better this week.
He was trying to say hi to Porsche and not to us.
If New Day has taught you anything, all right, let's get the little stuff out of the way because the little stuff.
Okay, little stuff.
All right. Did you watch Mixed Match Challenge?
Yes, sir, I did.
Match of the Week candidate.
Really?
That was some of the funnest shit all week.
It was very entertaining and very fun. I did enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd say it's a match of the week, but it was, man, if we want to count that match as just a segment, I'd be willing to give it segment of the week because it was just funny. There wasn't a whole lot of wrestling involved in it. It was like, you know, slapstick comedy kind of almost.
It was
entertaining as fuck.
The vibe that they've been trying to pull off from this is the kind of matches you would see at a house show where it's more relaxed, more entertaining. You're engaging with the audience. You're kind of in on the joke a little.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this match. God, it was just fun, dude. Fun would be the exact word I would use for it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I would say, too. I adore Rose Gold. I want this to be something that we'll see on the main roster. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, Naomi and Uso, okay, I get it. They're married, so just a mixed match challenge. Yeah, it's cute. You know, so just keep it off. Lana and Rusev were a thing. They're not a thing. You know, they're married, but they're not like a unit. So, okay, that's fine. You know, Becky and Sammy, okay, that's just mixed match. This is the one team that I want to see going forward, canon, on Raw and or SmackDown from here on. Because as I was watching it, I was like, Goldust just found himself a new Marlena, you know? But a definite upgraded version where she's not just a manager. Hell, he could be her manager because, you know, 2018.
Exactly. From the moment that they both walked out, mm-hmm. normally Marlena's the one smoking the cigar and making Goldust look good and taking off his robe. No, when they both came out, Goldust is pretending to have the camera and he's asking, yes. He's asking Mandy, give me a shot. Turn your hair. Ooh, this is good. Keep it rolling. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah.
I want this to continue. I like it.
Especially when they were going back and forth about, oh, this is teamwork. And they like give each other a high five. They start hugging. I knew they were going to get to the kiss. And I was like, oh, man, he's going to cock block this poor old man.
And she
was like, all in. She was ready for it. And then they played into it. That dude, bro, you cost me, man. What's up with that? Oh, it was fun. It was live, man. I liked it a lot. Yeah. It was very fun.
Yes.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Naomi did the dive, and Goldust was standing right there, kind of ducked, and she hit Rose. Yeah. He turned around, oh! You know? That was great. And then Jimmy was up there like he was going to, you know, do a dive too, and then he got back in the ring or whatever.
The best part so far is it's slowly starting to nullify my biggest gripe. Mm-hmm. We adore Lucha Underground because everyone's on the same level.
Right.
They have this mixed
one
match.
Of the reasons why
they have the playing field where it's guys against guys and girls versus girls. But not only the interaction, like, for example, when Goldust was blocking Naomi and Naomi just leapt over him, but seeing the ladies breaking the pinfalls on the men just to make sure that the team can keep going. Mm-hmm. Freaking Mandy Rose straight up on Jimmy like, oh,
yeah.
Shit. Like, okay. Yeah. This is getting good.
Breaking up the pins is they could get away with that. It's not, you know, what network TV would say, oh, a man hitting a woman. Mm-hmm. So they could get away with it. But I like it. I like the way that they're sneaking in that they could actually do stuff, you know, intergenderly. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't want to say I'm surprised because I was the most optimistic out of the three of us before it happened that, mm-hmm. hey, they might actually have something here. I'm just glad that that's the truth. And I'm glad that you are on board because I remember you were a little bit more negative than I was going into it. And now it seems like you're on board.
I'm getting there. It was weird because coming up to last night's viewing, as far as the pairings, this was actually going to be the first episode that I was going to just skip completely.
Oh, really?
But since I had lost my feed at times during the SmackDown Live showing yesterday, I figured, you know what? I didn't get enough wrestling tonight. Let me see if they can win me over. And and there was enough entertainment value in the match that it kept me intrigued. It won me over. Not just that, rather than me being judgmental that by me skipping last night would have possibly been me skipping the rest of the tournament altogether, it kept me back in.
Okay.
So, and because of all that, from my perspective, I'm willing to give it at least a candidacy for Match of the Week.
Okay. Robert, welcome. Thank you for joining us here tonight. He says this in the live chat. It's a little glitchy, but not too bad. So okay, I guess that's a step in the right direction.
We're getting there.
Please keep us updated because, like I said, we're experimenting with the technology here. He also says, I'm a little bigs. That's a very, very cool pairing, too.
Yeah.
If I had to pick between the two, between Rose Gold and Alexa Braun, I'd go with Rose Gold. That's just me because I like Alexa and Braun together.
But they're worth a lot more separate.
Exactly.
On,
yes.
On television, they're a lot more separate.
Stole the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. Yes. Porch sitting on the couch says, Rose touched a black woman's hair or a black woman's weave.
Oh, you don't ever do that.
Don't do that. She's going to die.
Yeah. That's the one thing I learned from dating black women. Don't ever, ever touch their hair. That's an investment. You don't mess with that.
Mm-mm.
No.
Don't do it.
Mm-mm.
No. See, she agrees. She's going to Cesaro uppercut somebody. You touch a black woman's hair or weave or whatever. Just stay away from that region. The cranial region. Just stay away from it.
So after the MMC, we had 205 Live.
Yes.
What are your first impressions of the new 205 Live?
I had a bit of a rumor. Somewhat kind of, if it's true, confirmed my suspicion, which was Vince kind of said, hey, I'm going to let go and let somebody else take control of it. And I was thinking this last week. I thought it this week. And then I saw earlier today that there's this rumor going around that, yeah, Vince isn't in control of that. And he handed control off to Hunter. I mean, it's news with the Z, so I don't really know if it's true or whatever, but that was my suspicion before, and I think it's an improvement, maybe, because it produced for me a very sneaky match of the week possible pick. I think this is my pick. I wanted you or Arnold to either talk me off of the ledge on this, but I don't know. I might be going with the main event. Hideo versus Roddy.
Really?
I think I'm going with Hideo versus Roddy.
Explain yourself.
The match was just fucking good. I don't like Roddy as a character.
You've said that. You made that abundantly clear.
Yes. I was starting to come around that one thing. And all that. I was like, oh, okay. But then they just kind of dropped it. And he just went back to
He went back to losing. That's what happened. They built him up just to have him job out.
Both.
Yeah,
both. They quit focusing on character and they had him just lose. So I'm like, eh, I don't care. But I cannot argue with that in-ring performance. That in-ring performance was amazing. And the match that he was putting on with Hideo, everything Hideo was doing was amazing. I was very surprised that Roddy's going on and won. He beat Hideo, a guy who is officially a 205 Live guy versus an NXT guy who they guess they called up, but I don't know if he's really a call-up. Is he just an NXT guy or what? I don't know. So I was like, he's not going to win. Then he won. Whoa, what? And that was after already a badass match for like 15, 20 minutes.
And that was on top of another good match that I would also pick as a candidate.
I agree. Vince
Dorado against Kalisto.
I agree 100%.
I would actually think, in hindsight, the first match was better only because I think they kept the audience in it from the beginning. I noticed, as good as I saw the presentation of Hideo versus Roddy, it looked like they were losing some of the crowd for a while. And it took them a while for them to get back into that gear, as opposed to Kalisto and Lince, they were just steadily idling at a high RPM. And then towards the end, they started revving up a little. But dude, yeah, on Raw, Drake Maverick, well, Spud, made it clear on commentary that we're pulling guys that this tournament's not just going to be all cruiserweight guys. We're pulling people from other places.
As long as they make the weight cut.
Yeah, it's fine. As long as they make the cut.
Okay.
The biggest thing I liked of 205 is mostly because it's one of the facets of the show that I've still been invested in throughout this entire run.
Mm-hmm.
Gabba Gulak and Tony Nese are actually going to be competing against each other. Freaking Drake Maverick put them both in their place. Like, what the fuck are you two? Like, this isn't what I remember from you. And that's exactly the next week's what they're going to do.
Porsche had told me before I watched the episode, because she watched it before I did. She said, hey, you need to watch this. Backstage said, I'm planning on watching 205 Live anyway, but she said, hey, make sure you watch it. And she even brought it up in the live chat again right now, reminding me that she really, really enjoyed that backstage segment. And as did I. I agree with you, man. And I agree with you too, Porsche. That was entertaining, and that wasn't what I expected out of Rockstar Spud. The Rockstar Spud that I know is not Drake Maverick.
The Rockstar spells a little pipsqueak to the legend that could. Drake Maverick's already walking around like he belongs there.
Exactly. Yeah, sure, he's a little short guy, and he's shorter than most of the 205 Live guys, which is saying something. But they're not treating him as such. He has the title of general manager, not the title, but he has the title of general manager, and people are respecting it. And sure, I suspect that it's Triple H just really in charge of everything, whatever. But kayfabe-wise, he's the guy that's bringing this new 205 to the table, and people are taking note. And if he's going to be calling out people like Enzo and Gulak for, hey, you know, you need to step up your game, you've been losing, you used to be a tough guy, and now you're not, and you're just counting your abs, da, da, da. Go out there and prove it in the ring. Oh, okay, yeah. Cool, man. I like that. I like that assertion, I guess you could say. So, yeah, it's good. Seth, welcome. Thank you for joining us in the live chat. Seth says this. love the shirt. Yes, thank you. Well, unless he means your shirt.
Oh, he would have no idea where this shirt came from. Yeah, I visited a brewery in Arkansas over the weekend. This is the first time I wore the shirt, and I already got fucking A1 sauce on it.
God damn it. All right.
Can't take me anywhere.
He also says, how are you guys? Well, I'm good. I'm good. Getting over a cold last week, you know.
Hump day. People trying to get me sick, and somehow I'm still surviving.
Thank you for your concern, Seth.
Yeah.
We very much appreciate it. We feel loved.
Seth, how are you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, hell.
That was Joey Tribbiani, not Enzo Amore, okay, by the way.
Okay, we'll let that one go.
Yeah.
I'm curious, even now with Roddy going over on Hideo, I'm even more invested in how far they're going to take this Cruiserweight thing. My match of the week, that might be my match of the week pick, you were half right. I've got Roderick Strong versus Tyler Bate from last week's NXT tapings that happened before TakeOver.
Okay, that's a very strong... Both of our match of the weeks have Roddy in it. Roddy Strong,
because he's got the charisma of a can of paint. But once the bell rings, he's gonna beat the shit out of you. And he makes a convincing point that he's gonna beat the shit out of you.
I had already had it made up in my mind that the 205 Live match was gonna be my match of the week pick. The reason why I'm not sitting here right now, I watched NXT after it, and that NXT match made me go.
Than they were in Kansas City with Hideo.
True.
And you know, the wrestling towns have always been on our match of the years candidates and winners. We got Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, stuff like that. So, yeah. And the Philly crowd ate both of them up. Mm-hmm. They loved it. And it showed. And I fucking loved it too. That end of heartache. God.
Yeah. I don't think I've heard them name that move before this week. Is that a new thing, or did I just miss out on that?
I think that's a new thing.
I think that's a step in the right direction for Roddy, because you need to start.
Especially
if he's not going to ooze the charisma, you got to throw other stuff on top of him to season that meat.
And hopefully the people that get the reference like the reference. End of Heartache. It's one of Killswitch Engage's favorite song, best songs, most popular songs. And if you listen to Roderick Strong's theme, it sounds like a fucking B-side of Killswitch Engage. So I get the correlation of how we named the finisher after a Killswitch song.
Okay, that and, went way over for me.
I need to introduce you to some Killswitch Engage.
Okay, maybe.
That CM Punk's theme song before they switched to...
Seth says, wait, you watch 205 Live? Why? Because it's improving. It's improving and there's really good wrestling on there. I'm telling you.
It's motivating me. If Goldust can't cut the weight, I'm sure as hell try.
But Seth says, I'm doing great, guys. Baseball season starting.
Yeah, fuck that foosball bullshit.
Yeah.
Nah, baseball.
Baseball.
Opening day. Hopefully, I'll be in Arlington for the Rangers against the Astros.
Ooh. That's going to be a good.
Yeah.
I say this every year. I got to go to a game this year, man.
We got it. Hopefully, they move the dollar hot dogs back to Thursday. Or the dollar ice creams on Thursday.
Because they were on Wednesdays the last two seasons.
We'll get the cheap seats. We'll go indulge in some. We'll make it happen. I went to a game last year.
The last time we went is when we went together with Travis. That was, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
When the Astros weren't that good.
They were on the come up, and we were there.
Yeah, yeah.
We were supporting before all y'all bandwagoners jumped on.
All y'all bandwagoners.
Yeah. No. Lower form of scum. Yeah. other happenings from NXT. Lacey Evans. It must have been because.
Good Lord.
It must have been because that Philly crowd is so into freaking Nikki Cross right now. I was not expecting the level of heat that Lacey got, but man, did she play up to it.
Yeah.
And, oh my God. I sound like a broken record, but I've said this many times on this podcast. Lacey Evans, that old school World War II pinup girl look, but also can hurt you. My kind of girl. And she's tall too, like eye to eye, so I don't got to bend down and get that, aggravate that hernia some more. Yeah, she's getting my attention. Undivided.
I'm going to steal a line from Travis again.
Uh-oh.
I can't boo that ass.
Why would you?
I can't.
So I won't. What'd you think of the return of the Mighty 61?
I am happy about it. I like their little, I guess, rugby jersey. When Cesaro first came in, it had the tape around the thigh, and they're like, "Oh, he's a rugby player." This is more genuine, and so it looks cool. I like it. They had the little match against the Ely brothers, which. I kind of marked out more for the Ely brothers than I did for TM61, even though I'm not supposed to, because wasn't it like, I want to say early summer or end of last spring that Brennan was putting photos from live events where he was teaming with the Ely brothers. So it's like, oh, the Ely brothers. Oh, that means Brennan's one step closer, you know?
He's not that far behind.
Yeah.
You would think he's not that far behind.
So it's weird. Like, these guys made the return. They're fighting against the jobbers, and I'm marking out because this guy that's not ever been on TV.
it's interesting you say that.
Yeah.
You've been watching some of the Coliseum home video the last 24 hours.
Yes.
Normally, the jobber comes out first, and then here comes the main attraction that everybody wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you saw freaking Kamala against Bret Hart, and Kamala came out first, then came out Bret. I found it interesting that the people that had the most to gain and the most investment on the roster came out first to introduce the opponents, to make the opponents feel credible enough to be in the ring with them. I always thought it was backwards, that the Ely brothers that we know like a little bit of nothing of, and then the Mighty 61 that are making their big return, yet the Mighty 61 come out first, and then the Ely brothers come out.
Yeah.
Same thing with Nikki Cross. Nikki's got all the adulation in Philly. Yet she comes out first, and then here comes her opponent.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of found that, not in a bad way, but I did find it interesting that that they're treating these guys like it's not just enhancement talent, or there's the possibility that, oh, shit, maybe Lacey would have gone over. Or they would have pulled something out.
And Ely brothers weren't just like straight up lay down jobbers. You know, it wasn't like Braun versus two no names, you know. Not lamed Ellsworth, you know. So they put up a fight. You know, it was a good little back and forth match too. So maybe that adds to it. But what I think is a little bit more interesting is the promo afterwards, where one of the clones or whoever it was came up to TM61 and was like, "Hey, what's it like being back or whatever?" And they cut their promo. Said that they might be changing their names or not TM61. But they're the Mighty Don't Kneel, which is what they were before. But does that mean that that's their name and they're reverting back to that? Or did they just say that as a tagline?
I would prefer it because TM61, it needs a lot of explanation, especially when they have the logo on the tights. And it's not even the whole logo. It's just the plus 61 because that's the area code in order to start dialing out to make calls to Australia.
And then what does the TM mean?
So, but they've been using it on their promos that they're the Mighty and the Mighty, they're TM61 and the Mighty Don't Kneel. And the Mighty Don't Kneel, you don't have to know their past in their independent wrestling. That's like, I wear a lot of.
That's
like,
a badass name.
And even the acronym, because I wear a lot of Tokidoki clothing. It's a art clothing, and and they have the acronym, the TKDK, and it just comes across like, oh damn, that's a cool thing that you can wear, and you don't have to like tell people it's wrestling. They just put TMDK and then the saying on the back or something. That just sounds, that's not in a derogatory way. That sounds like something you would find at Hot Topic and would sell out right next to Bullet Club, you know?
Yeah.
So I hope they go back to it. I mean, whatever helps them get more over than they are now.
I guess they had to get rid of it had to get rid of it when they left the Indies and went to NXT. Maybe that was like one of those old Daniel Bryan, Brian Danielson things, just so that WWE could own it. But WWE lately has been letting everybody keep their name and their gimmick and this and that. And maybe that's a Triple H thing. Maybe when Vince was more involved and overseeing it a little bit more, it's like, oh, you can't be TMDK. TM61, yeah, sure, whatever. But now that like Triple H has went away, they've been gone for a while, then they come back, you know, under Triple H's regime, it's like, hey, man, can we go back to the TMDK? Yeah, yeah, sure. You know, maybe.
Imagine if we had someone debut as JoJo Samoa instead of Samoa Joe. Because, oh, we need to copyright that shit and make our own money.
JoJo Samoa. I want Samoa of JoJo. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So that's it for NXT?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. How about SmackDown? I saw most of SmackDown. I didn't watch everything. Is there anything that stood out to you, assuming you watched enough of it?
Yes. And what stood out to me isn't something that happened, but something live chat.
I hope it's what you're about, what I was about to mention.
Go Where on. The fuck is Ronda Rousey?
Oh.
Oh, okay. It's something different. Hold on to that then. because, all right.
Your full-time wrestler hasn't showed up for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, she didn't show up on Raw. Okay, I get it. Yeah, maybe Charlotte versus Ronda is a little bit more of a, you know.
Spicier meatball.
Yeah, spicier thing. And you don't want to lose all the fucking momentum that Asuka has. So keep Asuka and Alexa and let Asuka beat the shit out of Alexa. Okay, then I can kind of understand that's going to wind up being a SmackDown thing. So then when she didn't show up on Raw, for the second week, I was like, all right, whatever. I'll let it slide. We'll see her tomorrow. Showed up on SmackDown, and Charlotte's calling out Liv, and Charlotte versus Liv is happening.
Oh, she's trying to mark out the Riot Squad one by one.
Okay, that's the money match that we're going to go. Like,
well, you have to keep in mind, we got 8 weeks to Mania.
Yeah, eight. I guess.
You don't want to bust your nut on the first week. You still have a Raw pay-per-view to promote, assuming that you're having Ronda on SmackDown. Then you have your Fastlane pay-per-view on SmackDown before you can really go to sixth gear and put all your eggs in the Mania basket.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand from that standpoint why you're not doing it yet. That's the furthest from my mind right now, Ronda thing.
Poor sitting on the couch says she's filming a movie.
Yeah, she's been for a while.
So I get why she's not there, you know, why her person is not there, but I don't understand why kayfabe nobody is like,
you don't
want to
show
her
training videos, you don't want to show clips of her knockouts, you don't want to show clips of her getting
or
knocked the
people
fuck out.
Fucking just talking about her. Yeah. Charlotte saying something about, you know, okay, yeah, it's going to be me and Ronda or something on Raw where there's something definitive, you know? I mean, I get it that you want to, like, slow cook stuff, but if you go out after Royal Rumble, have that interview where someone sticks a mic in your face and have a terrible promo because you're just fangirling out, but do say that I'm full-time and we don't see you for 2 weeks when there's, like, this huge cliffhanger. Chad, come on, let's tie up this loose end because OCD reasons? God, I don't know. That's not a good look.
How much of that is on the company and how much of that is on us? We're a society 50-50? That we need to...
50-50? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, okay, we're a society, da-da-da, but you're also a company and you know that you're feeding catering to a society that is da-da-da-da. You know, I mean, I could just as easily be somebody that forgets all about Ronda Rousey. All these casual fans that they're trying to cater to, the casual MMA fans who's like, oh my God, Ronda Rousey, let me tune in. And they don't see her for 2 weeks after they try to tune in. Oh, I'm going to tune in on Monday.
Technically 1 week because both Raw and SmackDown, the night after Royal Rumble, showed the clips of Asuka winning. And
that's true. They showed the replay. And, yeah.
But this week, Bupkis.
So they're not going to retain those new eyeballs, mm-hmm. I'd say. But I don't know. It seems like sometimes WWE is in the business of temporarily getting casual eyeballs instead of being in the business of getting casual eyeballs and turning them into hardcore fans. And I think that's a distinct difference where they are making a mistake. Like, yeah, attract the casuals, please. Attract the casuals. Yes, I understand you need to grow as a business, but attract the casuals and retain them and keep them. Not, don't keep them as casuals so they only tune in for Mania and Rumble and then that's it. They only go to church for Christmas and New Year's or Christmas and Easter. You want them coming to church every Sunday, you know? So do something to retain it, to retain them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. The one thing- I need to step off of my soapbox.
The one thing is that why you're feeling a little higher than normal?
Maybe that's
is the one thing that I was hoping for that I didn't see. They've been teasing for a while this dissension between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Tell me if you've heard that story before. And they were building up to the main event, which was on last night, where Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, the winner, would be the number one contender against AJ Styles. What I was hoping to see was some shenanigan MacGuffin where they both. All right, let's both lay down and put our hands on each other's shoulders. We both take the fall. Therefore, there's no winner. Therefore, we get the triple threat. Like, I thought it was too soon to already start showing the dissension by having Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens actually wrestle each other.
Mm.
Like, I was expecting that to be more of a bill to save, especially since I'm the guy that remembers, oh, hey, in Battleground last year was supposed to be the end of all this shit. And we're still getting Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens again. You know, and it felt like they could have saved that for later. And I don't even know what they're going to save it for now because apparently now it's a triple threat.
It happened.
Yeah, it already happened, you know?
I mean, I hope that this isn't now a storyline for a big bamboozle where Kev and Sammy pretend like they hate each other again and they weasel their way into a triple threat match for Kev and or Sammy to win the title. So it's going to be Kev versus Sammy versus Shinsuke versus AJ. As awesome as that sounds for a match, that's not what I want to see at Mania. That's cool if you're going to put that on
Money in the Bank.
Yes, or SummerSlam or Survivor Series or something. That
WrestleFest.
That Fatal 4-Way sounds fucking awesome on paper. That sounds great.
364 days out of the year, that'd make money.
Yes, but on Mania, after Shinsuke won the Rumble, after AJ sent out that tweet, 300 some odd days since you beat me, 300 some odd days until I get to beat you, fuck, that's where the money is right now. Either you're going to shoehorn something in there that's not going to work and something I don't want to see, or you're going to make it painfully obvious that this is a time filler until Mania. Because after all that bullshit happened, AJ's walking backstage. What happens? Shinsuke comes up to him. At WrestleMania, I beat you.
That's a pretty good person.
Like, okay, yes, that's what I want to see. Right there. I want to see more build of that. I'd rather see Kevin versus Shinsuke and Sammy versus AJ and Sammy and AJ try to like one up each other. Or excuse me, I mean AJ and Shinsuke try to one up each other on how bad or how quickly they can beat up the other two goofballs.
Yeah.
You know, but instead we have this mini feud that's just in between.
The DLC boss.
Yeah.
It's weird. Right now, I'm so disinterested in the Sammy KO stuff that it's kind of bleeding over into the AJ Shin stuff. What I'm liking the most out of SmackDown right now is Attitude Era Steve Austin. Just Randy Orton out of nowhere, RKOing motherfuckers left and right. I don't know where it's leading to. I'm guessing it's going to be for the U.S. title, Rude against Orton.
It was from, I don't know.
Or something, but dude, it's been a while since I've been this interested in Randy Orton because I don't know
really
because I don't know where the motivations are leading to. Like, why is he just cutting people left and right?
Okay,
you know, so the intrigue has me excited. I would say.
Robert says this in the live chat. KO Sammy and D-Bry versus Shane and New Day. Okay. Porsche sitting on the couch.
That says, look, you weren't that confident when you said okay. You were just like, okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Why?
Porsche sitting on the couch says, yes, it's filler. You got a deal. Calm your tits. Okay.
Yeah, lactating a little bit over there. Benja Gable have new targets.
Yes.
They want Fashion Police.
Yes.
And they knocked out Ascension. Yeah. Intrigued or no?
Yes, I'm a little intrigued. I'm more intrigued about this than I am Blandy Borton and Glorious. I historically don't like either one of those guys. But, yeah. The tag stuff seems kind of interesting to me because this is the most charisma I've seen out of Shelton Benjamin. I've always liked Shelton Benjamin's in-ring work, in between the bells. He was the Kofi before Kofi was Kofi, you know, with getting himself not eliminated from the...
Running up the ladder in the first ever Money in the Bank at Mania 21. Matches.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, before Kofi, it was Shelton.
He was very, 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 and still is very good in the ring. He just, he didn't have the charisma. The Mama Benjamin stuff just didn't work. Gold Standard stuff kind of...
Why did you remind me of that nightmare?
The Gold Standard stuff kind of had a direction, but...
He can get over the blonde.
He just colored his hair, and he started calling himself the Gold Standard, and that was it. That was the length of it. But Gable has a way of pulling stuff out of people, and he's a frat boy.
Like he got out of Jordan when they were in NXT.
Yeah, but that's not what they're doing here. Yeah. He's pulling shit out of Shelton Benjamin, but he's pulling intensity out of him. He's pulling a little bit of a mean streak out of him that I didn't know Gable had, you know? And Gable's just kind of being a bit of a competitive dick. And Shelton's following right along. And they're kind of developing this character of these dudes who kind of have chips on their shoulders. And they're really good, and they can really talk, and they can really wrestle, and okay. They are not American Alpha 2.0 for me now. They are their own thing.
They're not World's Greatest Tag Team 2.0.
Yes, I agree. They are their own entity. I would like for them to get a team name.
Benji Gable.
Okay, Benji Gable. An official team name? You know, if that winds up being it, then I'm okay with it. I just need to hear commentary say
you want it on a towel.
I want it on a towel. I want it on their fucking Titantron. I want a official name for them. But for the time being, I'm on board.
If there's anything that's intriguing me more in the tag team division, it's the slow build.
Hold on.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Remember Aaron? Remember how Gable was, shoosh! They could be team... Shushi.
I didn't say sushi. I said shush.
Shush. But he says it shush.
Arnold, why didn't you come? The very slow build that we're getting to a match that we've seen months at a time, but it still feels brand new.
Is?
Bludgeon Brothers against the Usos. I forgot to mention this last week because there was so much going on last week. But the promo that the Usos cut after the Royal Rumble felt like a page out of old school Dusty Rhodes as far as like the common man and coming back from the grind and all this stuff. And then last night, their promo about starving for hunger and thirst for the spotlight.
All right.
Holy shit, they must have been taking that Paul Heyman class in NXT or something. Because their gimmicks aside, the first week where they did the penitentiary lockdown and they showed the graphic of the cage door slamming. I don't know if there was a lot of those kind of crazy graphics this week. But
no, there wasn't.
But still, the substance in both of the promos last week and last night. Dude.
Okay.
I've said this again earlier. I have never been as excited to see the Usos on my television than I have been these last like 2 months, especially the last couple of weeks.
That's funny because when I saw the Uso promo, I felt like they went up and said a whole lot of nothing, and I don't know what their direction is. I get what's going on with the Bludgeon Brothers, but I felt like they didn't even really talk about the Bludgeon Brothers. They didn't really talk about anything. They just kind of went up there and said stuff. I don't know if
I'm
being
overly
critical.
Well, the first promo last week, they were saying that you can be teens, you can be friends, you can be brothers, but nothing's ever going to come close as the twin relationship that I have with my other half, with the other Oos. This one might have been a little more, a little less focused on someone in particular, but it's plainly obvious that that's where they're going with.
Okay.
Usos versus Bludgeon. And I'm ready for it, dude. We've enjoyed Usos versus Wyatt family Harper and Rowan years ago when they were going back to back and they kept it fresh. Two out of three falls, falls kind of all this other stuff. And we wanted more. Like it didn't, they changed it enough that it didn't bore us to death.
Yeah.
Now it's a completely different type of character for the Usos. It's not the, hey, let's wear the face paint and let's get all the cheers. We're going to be badasses. We're going to be Attitude Era wrestlers, but we're going to still be solid in our convictions enough that people respect us, therefore cheer us.
Okay.
And the Bludgeon Brothers went from like a weird ass gimmick to an even fucking weirder ass gimmick. But Harper looks to be in the best shape I've seen him in. Rowan's looking a little bit thinner than he was the last time we'd seen him. And they've changed up their style enough in the ring that they're different than what you remember 2-3 years ago.
Mm.
So the new Usos against the new Wyatt family in 2018, I'm ready, dude.
Okay.
That's going to be a good.
What? Robert Bedler says one of them got grills. They did? I didn't see the grill.
I don't know. It might have just been the aluminum foil from like a double mint.
Porsche says Jay. Jay has the grill.
I don't know. I noticed Cesaro has braces on Raw to straighten out the chompers.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it has something to do with
Bunnies?
The Tataro situation.
The Swiss Superman.
The Swiss Superman situation.
If you will, Daddy.
I didn't notice that they had grill.
That's just, they need to make a more close-up to it. That's it for SmackDown, man.
Hold on. I want to bring up something because Arnold may not be here, but he did send in something. He says that he's got three match of the week picks, and I believe
what's his third place.
One of them, well, he didn't put it in order, but I believe one of them is from SmackDown, Rusev versus Rude.
The crowd kept me engaged in it.
Yeah,
the first time ever watching those two wrestle.
Oh, we need to talk about something else, but continue.
And dude, it was fun. I was surprised that Rude won because Rusev was clearly over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, bandwagon. Hopefully that doesn't affect Rude's fanfare from here on out because I think seeing as you don't have a SmackDown pay-per-view for 5 more weeks or 4 more weeks, it would have made nice sense to put the belt on Rusev even for a little bit, especially in front of that crowd. And Kansas City was actually pretty lit for SmackDown.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice to have Rusev win it. Hopefully they do something with this, you know, because you would hate for all that momentum. For example, the whole Zack Ryder thing, he did all of it on his own, and they too blind to acknowledge it until by the time they acknowledge it, the fire's already out.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get the same reception you could have had you to pull the trigger at the best point, you know? So hopefully the buildup to Rude and Lana, if it's not for the U.S. title or if it's not for a run after Nakamura and AJ are done, or if they're not winning the charity for Mixed Match Challenge, I hope there's a finish line for all the work that they're putting into. Because, dude, they're pulling shit out of their ass, and it's fucking hilarious.
Noted.
What?
At the top of the show. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about how great Rusev is and all that stuff. At the top of the show, you know, Shane and D-Bry were out there trying to cut a promo. Talking about, the next big guy
I missed
whatever.
That part.
So. Yeah, everybody started, Rusev Day. Like, we listen to our fans, and we know, and it's our job. Everybody started going fucking nuts for Rusev Day. Shane stops the promo, turns to the audience, and goes, noted. And they continue with the fucking promo.
If anyone understands what Rusev's going through right now, it's fucking Daniel Bryan. We don't need to turn Rusev straight up babyface, but any chance to get to do Lana is the best, Lana's number one. I'm all in, dude. So hopefully, yeah, that pays off with something. All
right. So what I wanted to transition off of that into was this top 10 list.
I have no idea what the fuck they're going with.
I don't know.
I saw the video.
Yeah.
I mean, is that why Orton's cutting people? Because he's too good for number 9 or 8 or whatever.
Whatever. Okay. So this is supposed to be. They didn't say this isn't kayfabe, okay? Mm-hmm. But they're trying to market it as though, hey, all the boys in the back voted, and this is how their ranking is. You can't vote for yourself, whatever. So these are the locker room leaders and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's cute, but what are we going to do with this top 10 list? And when you look at the top 10 list, it's a little suspect because 10 is Ty Dillinger. That already screams fucking kayfabe to me, you know? Also, what's a little suspect about it is that there's no heels on the list. It's all fucking baby faces. The other suspect is that AJ's... No, well, okay. The fourth one is no Rusev. The one I was about to say is AJ's number one and Charlotte's number two. Yeah, you got your men's and your women's title holder. Like, I don't doubt that AJ wouldn't be number one and not as well respected as the top guy. I get it. So, but the fact that, oh, such a coincidence that number one and number two are your main title holders. Like, this list seems a little cooked, I'd say, you know? So what's the point? I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing I could come up with, if I had the book, I would introduce somebody from NXT or somebody from outside and use the top 10 as like a hit list. And so one by one, just out of nowhere, randomly backstage in the parking lot, the lights go out after a match. And then the next thing you know, from number 10 to number two, they're laid out. Men and women. Make it even keel, especially after a mixed match. And debut whoever it is that's like knocking out all the, like a bounty hunter, knocking out all of these. And it's fucking John Morrison. And he knocks them out, all of them, to number one and face-to-face to number one. And that's where you start your rivalry. That's how you debut them. And then once that rivalry's over, you got everybody else on that hit list that wants to get his comeuppance.
The only problem with that is that I don't think WWE would allow, even if it's off camera, for John Morrison or some other man to lay out a woman.
What if it's a woman?
That's what I was going to say. No! Shayna Baszler.
Oh!
That seems like something dickish you did. She gets all the way up to number two. Everyone's expecting Charlotte to get got. Charlotte doesn't get got.
Charlotte finally beats AJ at number one.
Yeah, and then Charlotte is like out in the middle of the ring fighting the Riot Squad or something stupid. And then lights go out. Boom, there's Baszler.
Yeah.
Choke, choke, choke.
And the best way to build it is that she's from the UFC. So she feels that she needs to go up the rankings to get to number one contender. Book it.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And I would not lose any respect for Rusev or for AJ or for Orton because they got choked out by somebody that legit can beat the shit out of you in 30 seconds or less, or it's free.
Okay.
But you know damn well WWE ain't going to do that shit. Yeah. This ain't the countdown to Jericho or anything. This is going to be some random nonsense.
Robert Medlin says, so they're not going to pay off Dillinger versus Sammy? I guess not.
Well, we got 6 weeks before Mania.
That's what Porsche says. Porsche also agrees with you. It should be Nikki. Nikki Cross.
She's crazy enough to do it.
Yeah, but...
like, I want to see her with a finger in her mouth. Like, oh...
ruthless enough to do it.
Basically, ruthless enough.
Yeah. Okay.
If she beats Ember for the title, and then she takes the title to SmackDown.
That's if this list doesn't update every week. Because if it updates every week, then, like... yeah.
If they do it monthly, she has a month to plow through everybody.
There you go. Yeah, she could probably plow through everybody in a month. 10 people in a month, that's like, what, 2 to 3 per episode?
Yeah.
Well, no, probably 3. No, yeah, 2 or 3.
Do it in house shows, too. Oh.
Okay.
So speaking of the women's movement, we were just... So let's transition to Raw, because I really think that they fucking had something... with little 5 foot midget Alexa talking down about Brock Lesnar like she didn't give a fuck if he ate babies. Like, women give birth. They're not afraid of nothing. Like, I love she's not afraid of. Dude, and Kurt Angle sold it like a million. He's just like,
I wasn't trying to insult women. But
that was easily one of my favorite segments of the entire week.
That was great.
Because the idea that you said earlier that they need to do something to keep the casual audience that they won over from the Rumble, from ESPN, from Deadspin, from UFC, from all these outlets that they came from. Women out there are going to understand and they're going to relate to Alexa Bliss being forced to wrestle in a fucking death match 6 weeks before their biggest event of the year, like, when Brock, the dude, don't got to do shit.
Right.
Dude,
that's a good fucking point. She wasn't wrong. She's the heel, but she wasn't wrong.
Yeah. They could have really made that work, man.
They could have. Yeah.
Fuck.
But in the way Alexa does, she still made it heel enough to where when you
she lost the crowd at the end.
Yeah,
which was weird because she was winning the crowd like a a politician, and then like a politician, she lost them.
Other than like there was really no explanation other than because I said so. Like that's that's pretty much what Kurt said. I make the matches, and I think this is the most entertaining thing.
Then he gave it over to the people, and the people are like, you know what?
Do you want to see a
match? Time's not up. I'm sorry. Time's not up.
Like, Kurt Angle pretty much said, hey, do you want me to stand around and talk some more, or do you want to see a match? And everyone's like, yes. Yes. Of course. Of course everyone's going to say yes. Hey, do you want to see a match? Yes. The answer is always yes. Yeah. So, get out of here.
Answer me this. We have Roman versus Bray for the Elimination Chamber. I don't know what the commentary team had before the before they went on Raw last night, but they did a damn good job putting over the rivalry between Roman and Bray in that match.
Okay, yeah.
So you go through all that effort of reminding us why we need to care about this match, and you're not going to protect Bray in a loss. You're going to just have him squashed by Roman like he's always been squashed by Roman. It was a little unsettling for me. The Hardy thing could have happened during the match instead of waiting till after Roman had won. Roman's already gone, and Bray's like, herp, herp. Really?
See, I can't remember who said it. If it was Randy or if it was Porsche that said that. Porsche, I think it was you, said that Matt's going to come out during the match to cost. That was you, Porsche? Yeah, that Matt's going to come out and interfere in the match. But then I said, no, Matt's the babyface, so he's not going to interfere during the matchup. Yeah, he's crazy, and he's woken and broken and whatever you want to call him. Token, I don't know. But he's the face. He wasn't going to cost somebody a matchup. So I kind of get it, but like at the same time, you needed some sort of device for Bray not to lose clean. So it was kind of one of those paint yourself into a corner kind of booking problems right there. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's Bray. He loses everything. So I don't really give a fuck.
Okay. I see your logic. Okay.
He loses everything, but not in an adorable way like Gargano and Sammy used to. He loses when it's like, God damn it, we weren't quit fucking losing, you loser.
All right. So answer me this. The next segment. You put the Revival over the entire way as tag team specialists just to have them lose to two guys that kind of aren't even in a fucking tag team.
Okay.
Explain me that.
I don't know. Bad booking.
I still don't get it.
Yeah.
None. No idea.
I like the Revival. I want them to succeed. I want them to do better than what they're getting right now.
I feel like they need an old manager to remind you that this is why they are who they are. Bring in Ole. Much like one of the ugly ones.
I would agree with you if it wasn't for the fact that Dawson is Dawson, right? Not Dash. It's no, Wilder. Right? The bald one. The bald one's really good on the mic. Yeah. The one with the hair isn't as good on the mic, but
I don't, but you lean more on Bali.
Yeah. I don't think they need a mouthpiece. Yo,
I wouldn't mind if they got put over. I wouldn't mind if they got put over by somebody back in the day saying, you know what? You remind me of me. I know you're going to succeed.
Malenko, he's a road agent, right?
Yeah.
Have Malenko show up and give him his fucking blessing seal.
He's a horseman.
Yeah. Have Malenko just show up. Give him a nice slap on the ass.
They're all like, the same height.
Yeah. Vanguard 1 flies in from the back. Been a good interference. Vanguard 1 flied in. Which again, dude, I don't wanna say this yet.
But you're gonna.
But I'm gonna. This Woken stuff is just broken light.
Well, now that Matt officially has all the licenses to the broken gimmick, maybe it's not, now he's not cracked anymore. He's going to be completely.
Hasn't used any of it yet. No Senior Benjamin, no Compound, no Vanguard One, no nothing. It's just been him laughing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He hasn't even been busting out big fucking $6 words and saying it with his crazy accent. He's just been laughing. And that's it. That's all you get.
I warned y'all. Try to warn y'all.
Que la chingada pinche madre.
All right. Thumbs up or thumbs down on the participants of the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber.
Oh, I need to be reminded who they are before.
Alexa's defending against Mickey. Bailey, Mandy Rose, and Daria.
Daria?
The MMA fighter. She changed her name. Sonya Deville. It's dangling upward.
I got a half chub.
Okay, so let me finish that off for you. Asuka's wrestling Nia in the same paper. The triple threat at Mania.
Ooh.
Would you rather have Asuka versus Nia one-on-one or keep the mystique of Asuka and insert Nia in the chamber? Because much as I love Mickey, I think that's a wasted spot. I would have Nia in there.
Who would you replace?
Mickey.
Mickey?
Yeah.
Not Sonya Deville. Well, you got to have somebody from Absolution, right?
Well, you got both of them from Absolution.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Mandy and Sonya. But I think Sonya would be a good foe.
See, in my mind, I'm already getting rid of Mandy being in Absolution. And
you want her in Goldust?
Rose Goldust is now a thing. Fuck Absolution. One of them, all Absolution is just fucking Sonya Deville now because Paige is broke. So, yeah.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
man, poor Paige. That's still heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But regardless, she's not wrestling, so womp womp. So, the chamber.
I'm kind of there. Maybe I need a little bit more build. I need to be fluffed a little bit here. I don't know. But I love that we are going to get Nia versus Asuka.
But how many times if you don't think about the main roster?
I was gonna say if you don't think about it. Once you start thinking about it, it's like
Nia acts, she cuts on the promo. She's awesome on the mic. She's very attractive. It's like I'm gonna do the one thing that no one else can because Asuka can't beat me. It's like, you know what? I have the network. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 times she's beaten you. 5. Cinco. Cease.
That's half a Ty Dillinger.
Yeah. That's a break-even rating on Rotten Tomatoes. 5. And you're now all of a sudden we're supposed to forget, like, take the blue pill. What's that?
Yeah. Nah. Robert Redlin, Nia needs to be in the chamber.
Yeah, go.
I agree with you. Somebody can get bumped and put Nia in there. I mean, I want to see more Asuka versus Nia because it just seems like a good match. And like I said, unless you think about it. Like, if I don't think about it, it's like, oh, I'm not, yeah, sure. But then the whole thing with the KO and Sammy and AJ, this is just filler. It's filler for Asuka to get to Mania.
Is it?
I think it is. I at least I hope it is. I don't want to see a triple threat at Mania with Asuka.
Let me give you something to think of. What was the one thing that they emphasized at the Royal Rumble? With Shinsuke and with Asuka.
They get to choose their opponent.
I've not heard Asuka on television, on the telly, once say that she's fighting Alexa for the title. So there's still a chance that they were having all this build that Alexa, assuming Alexa walks out with the belt or somebody else, that they have to deal with Asuka. What if fucking like after Fastlane, fucking Asuka shows up and says, you know what? I'm taking out Charlotte or whoever. And then we have 5 weeks to figure out, all right, so if what's her face isn't defending, well, who's gonna defend? And then in comes Ronda on Raw. Asuka versus Charlotte and Ronda versus Alexa. Ronda versus Alexa has to be on the main card because that's going to be like Ronda's most other fights. It's going to end in 45 seconds.
What does that have to do with Nia and it becoming a triple threat? By the way,
Naya's still gonna lose.
Asuka would have to lose for Naya to take.
Yeah, so Asuka will beat her like she always beats her, and then it'll just be we'll have a number one contender again or some other shenanigan to figure it out. Or Ronda just comes in.
Yeah, Robert Medlow says, so this is setting up Asuka's first loss? ? No, I don't think so. If Asuka's gonna have a first loss, it's gonna be at Mania. I said this last week or 2 weeks ago. If a little bit, knowing that somebody has to win just for the sake of a winning streak, you know? So, I mean, look at how much Undertaker has lost. Undertaker loses all the goddamn time, you know, except for Mania. At Mania, it kind of got to the point, because it started out coincidence, but it kind of got to the point where, oh shit, this is his thing. He needs to win. And then
he just made it a thing. Now we got to run with it.
Yeah, yeah. It wound up being a monkey on it, not on his back, but on creative's back a little bit. Like, oh, 20-0, 21-0. Oh, no, 21-1. And it became a thing. Well, with Asuka, it's like, all right, she's established. She has a 2-year reign. Most of that reign you didn't see on main roster stuff. Eventually, she'll have to lose. If she loses at Mania, I think you could wind up being more versatile with her because it's not one dimensional. She just wins all the time. Because if you run with, like, oh yeah, of course she's gonna win, you know.
One thing that I am hoping for, if they are to really bring home the point across that they're gonna take the women's movement seriously, is an influx of women's matches at Mania. We've already got your women's title for SmackDown. We already got a women's champion that's looking to defend at Mania. We've got Alexa that they're looking to defend at Mania. And the seeds that they planted last Monday for Sasha versus Bayley, I think now is the time more than ever to turn Sasha heel. And the best fuel for that started on Raw. Sasha's over there looking over the video, looking over what she did, how she thinks she knows now how to beat her. Bailey's like, hook a brother up with some pointers. Like, no, bitch. And so Bailey went out there on her own.
Okay.
Survived again, but got destroyed. But they have the history. So when the match was over, Asuka actually showed the respect of shaking Bailey's hand, which she didn't give Sasha. And I bet that's going to drive a woman like Sasha crazy. The weave snaps and we get like full on like,
why's it gotta be the weave?
Does she not wear a weave?
She wears a weave.
There you go. Okay. It snaps. And we get Sasha versus Bailey at Mania.
Robert agrees with you in live chat.
Renew the rivalry. I'm hoping for at least 3 matches, maybe even 4 at Mania. Do an intergender tag match like last year. Well, have Rusev and Lana against Cena and Nikki.
Robert says, nah, I'm thinking Ronda Rousey's doing a tag match.
Alexa. The rumor is that they're supposed to rekindle that The Rock or somebody, even though that's like 3 years too late, but it's a possibility. But well, still, more women in Rock, matches on the roster would be good right now.
With The Rock and Mania, nothing's too late.
Yeah. Oh, he's do that. You do that with 2 weeks in advance. That's yeah.
It's over. The Rock is fucking. He is relevant enough with all his movies that he doesn't need to be built. You know, he's the one guy that I would.
Like, would you have The Rock wrestle with or without a prosthetic leg?
Why a prosthetic leg?
He's got to put over the new movie.
What's his new movie?
Skyscraper? You didn't see the trailer during the Super Bowl? He's prosthetic and the family's like trapped inside the skyscraper and it's on fire and he's like, oh.
I saw the poster, but I didn't see the commercial because I watched the last half of the Super Bowl.
That's good. That was a good half. It was. Thumbs up or thumbs down if Rob Gronkowski actually decides to retire and he gets into the ring?
Like, thumbs up or thumbs down if I think he's going to do it or if he is or isn't going to do it?
Do you want it to happen?
Yeah, I only kind of want it to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
Dude, it's instant heel, dude.
Oh, instant heel, dude. Yeah, yeah, he's a heel. He's a dick.
He's a patriot. That's all that matters.
That's worse than being a dick.
He's a patriot that stands up during the national anthem. You can boo him all fucking day. He'll be like Bret Hart. He'll get cheered in the United States, but get booed everywhere else in the country because he's a fucking patriot.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Okay. Let's talk about Gronkowski.
That foosball. That foosball.
Foosball. Will there be a women's battle royal match to like the Andre men's?
What's Andre's equivalent for women?
Well, you wouldn't say Mae Young because it's a classic. Yeah. I guess Moolah Memorial Battle Royal. Moolah, I guess. Okay. Right. Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. Nah, four matches on the card's enough. We don't need all that one. All
right.
How about Elias winning the triple threat and being the last guy? I sure hope he plays 25-minute concert inside that fucking chamber.
Yes, by himself. Oh God, yes. Yes. Wasn't that somebody did like something similar to that where they were in the chamber just talking shit or doing something the entire time? Who was that before?
I don't remember. Maybe it was Jericho. And he locked himself in the cage because Goldberg was going to break him and he wound up spearing through the cage
through the,
and killed
him. Yeah, through the plexiglass or some shit. I don't know. Yeah, that's a very good...
Sing Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And have Braun break it just to shut him up.
That's a very good opportunity for something character-wise to happen. Yeah. If he's going to be the last one, he's going to be in there the entire time singing.
He breaks the guitar on Braun's head and he no-sells it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everything's legal in the chamber.
Yeah. The Fiji Memorial. I think WWE owns the rights to Fiji.
Yeah.
That'd be funny though.
So, what are you thinking about the chamber so far for the men?
All right. So we got Elias, Cena, Braun,
Roman,
The Miz, and then we have one more match. A second chance is what they're calling a second chance match between Finn, Hardy, Bray, and who else? Oh, Apollo. Is it obvious that it's going to be Finn? I think it's obvious.
I'm actually thinking it's Apollo.
What? Apollo in the chamber.
Okay. I've seen all the crazy shit that Finn can do. I'm curious what a flexible black man can do inside that chamber.
Oh my. Oh my. Okay. Really?
You're not going to have two chamber matches and not have one black person in it. Come on now. You even put Kofi in there just for flips and giggles.
Okay.
And to stick him through the chain and have him stuck. You remember that one?
Yeah.
Those fucking braids. But yeah. I'm actually more intrigued in the men's chamber match right now.
Okay.
No slight to the women. I just think that right now every man in there feels like they have a little. You mentioned this before that the chamber back then, the storyline built the match, not the match building the story. And right now, there's enough people around there where I can viably think that I would, for example, I wouldn't mind it in your house pay per view where Elias Samson's getting a number one contender match at Lesnar. I could see all five of these guys right now, or maybe even six or seven, depending on who you want to mess with, have Bray prey on Brock Lesnar's deepest fears and actually try to scare him. I can actually see like five or six of these guys actually threaten Brock.
Boo.
Ah! Yeah. And so it's working. Like I'm digging the men's chamber build right now.
Okay.
And I'm intrigued. I'm curious to see where they're going to go. I sure as fuck hope they don't make it too obvious. You know, because if it's stank of obviousness. Oh, hey, by the way, this Monday tonight, Roman Reigns is going to – guy that can't beat The Miz twice, lost his Intercontinental belt, but all of a sudden he's worthy of the big red period belt. Like, nah. It's like that – it reeked of, oh, yeah, we're shoehorning this. Okay. So I hope it's not that obvious and they surprise me with somebody different against Lesnar.
Okay.
And fuck it, dude. I wouldn't mind if it was Strowman.
Robert Redland says Apollo's had some good matches lately. True. Apollo's a good wrestler. They just haven't really given him much of a chance in WWE.
Mm-hmm. Have Dana outside the chamber taking notes while she's like drawing the chamber on the top of the pad. Come on, man. You can make that happen. Have worldwide cheering Apollo before he breaks out of the pod, just for him to get destroyed when he gets out of the pod.
You know, I bet Dana is just like scribbling her own name with like little hearts and stuff over and over whenever she's really.
She's imagining herself with everybody else's last names. Like when you get married, like, it's Dana Balor. And then, it's Dana Cena. And then it's Dana Strowman. Cruz. And Dana Braun. And the next sheet's like full of A's.
Yeah. She's just doodling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Statistician, my ass.
Well, eventually, if you get lucky. Oh man, let's see. What have we missed? Did you like the cruiserweights?
Yes. What are they doing wrong?
Tag match, I think.
Was it?
I don't remember.
If I don't remember it, then I remember 205.
Other than that, I think that's it for Raw.
Is there anything we're missing, guys?
Anything? Yeah, I think that's everything.
Any New Japan stuff?
Woo, doggy. Uh-oh. So my WrestleMania weekend's already booked. I've been saying for months that I'm not going to WrestleMania, and I am sticking to it. I am not going to that fucking show. Fuck WrestleMania.
Why?
Instead, because they're going to force feed Roman versus Lesnar, and they're going to try to get Roman over again, which is sickening.
You know, it's a 4-hour show, and there's probably only going to be like 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah, but if you're going to end the show like that. They just announced in Ring of Honor that we're getting Cody versus Kenny Omega at Super Card of Honor the night before WrestleMania. So we will be in the house in New Orleans.
This Scott?
Yeah. Oh. 2 weeks after I go to Strong Style Evolved in LA, I will be in New Orleans to culminate that storyline between Cody and Kenny. So that's going to be fun. I honestly have no idea what else the fuck is on this card. Hopefully Dalton Castle's still the champ and it's a good match. But
with you traveling around as much as you do, we might have to stop calling this Houston Wrestling Radio. Shit.
Universe Wrestling Radio. Yeah.
we have a new person in the chat that I've never seen before, Bobby Shane. This is what he says.
Quote, where are you from, Bobby Shane?
This is what he says, quote, I haven't watched wrestling since the Attitude Era.
You're on the wrong podcast. Wrestling Relapse is due for a debut.
There you go.
Anytime now. I'm just waiting for Travis to wash out the rest of the ginger from his hair, edit the shows. We've got 5 in the can. We might have one more. And then we're going to do it Netflix style. We're just going to release all of them at once.
There you go.
And then we're going to take a couple months off. And then, bow, just do some more. So, yeah, we'll get there.
You got Attitude Era stuff in there.
Yeah.
From back when Bobby was watching wrestling.
Yeah.
There you go. See, there's even something for you, Bob.
There you go. Still got to tell us where you're from. I'm curious.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's it for Raw, dude.
He has a shirtless pic of him and abs and pecs on his little profile picture here.
Oh, shit.
I'm starting to get an erection.
Tell me your surgeon's name so I can go visit him. So that's the Ring of Honor stuff. The New Japan stuff we covered last week. The tickets sold out in 20 minutes. And that's it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. This weekend we're having a
DZW
house show.
Yeah.
Not a TV taping, live event. But come on out.
Whose house are you doing the show at?
At the DZW's house.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Olympus Arena, 1812 Avenue D, Katy, Texas.
Olympus Arena. Does anybody have medals?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody has any medals. I mean, we have title belts, and those aren't medals. It's made of metal with a T, not a D. Metal. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know your D's, don't you?
What? But yeah, please come out 7 o'clock Saturday night, this Saturday. Not sure if we have main events booked yet. But yeah, we had some. Duperon got his shot at Silky, and man, it got, what's the word I'm looking for? Violent. It got violent. There was a lot of
that Bubba Sparks ugly.
It got ugly. Okay. There was the weapons involved. No DQ stuff.
You said this was in Katy?
In Katy.
This sounds like something that happens in my neighborhood in the fifth floor. In my apartment complex.
It could have been.
If y'all know those stories.
Could have been. Woo! Yeah. So it was, ooh. So I don't know. We're going to have fallout from that. So please come check it out. Come support your boy, who's the commentator for the TV show. This isn't going to be for TV, but I'll still be there. So
if you want to support the competition.
Oi!
Apparently, MVP's doing a triple threat match at ROW with Ruthless Ryan and Gino. Down in Texas City.
That's this weekend.
I don't think it's this weekend.
Yes, it's this weekend?
Mm-hmm. So next weekend's the women, right?
Weekend is just regular old ROW.
This weekend's the Sausage Fest. The next week is all the breasts you can handle. Do you like them original or crispy? Crispy. Or do you like them grilled?
Crispy.
Yeah. Or spicy or mild?
Spicy.
Hell yes!
Oh, yeah. Hi, papa.
Can we call it a night?
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
What do you got, though?